nice to really have, like I suggested, have some incense burning. Really pay attention to your breath as we move into this time together. And hopefully you've lit your candle or candles. I've got two candles going, two for Gemini. So we're going to start. Welcome to the circle. So what is the new moon? I'm going to share a little bit about my own lunar practice and encourage you guys, if you haven't already initiated a practice of following the moon through her phases, that this is a beautiful time to start. So over the course of 29 or so days, the moon moves through all eight of her phases, from new to full and back to new again. And this progression is mirrored, well, it's mirrored in so many parts of our world. It's mirrored in the developmental cycle of our bodies. It's mirrored in our emotional developmental cycle. It's mirrored in so many places in the biological world and in the cycles of the seasons, in the cycles of light and darkness. So a lunar practice, a practice of simply tuning in every day to where the moon is in the sky. And I mean really tuning in to where the moon is in the sky. So we're renaturing and rewilding our astrology. It's really great to meet here and to dig into charts and to learn. And it's also really, I think, beneficial emotionally, psychologically, and physically for us to get out and look at the night sky and connect. And this brings us back in touch with the cycles of nature that contemporary culture divorces us from. So we have so many things to celebrate in our wonderful technological modern world, many things that keep us healthy and support our life. But the flip side of that is that living in a culture where we're so comfortable and so much is available to us, we can have light and sound coming at us 24 hours a day. We're always in a comfortable environment. The flip side of that is that we're separated from the cycles of nature. For me, the connection with the lunar cycles is a beautiful place to reconnect with those natural cycles and to begin to rewild yourself and come into harmony with the natural cycles. So as we follow the moon, we can see it mirrored in the progression of our own emotional growth and the growth of our creativity and projects and life during that month. And we'll talk a little bit later, too, about how each new moon not only initiates that next 29-day cycle, but a bigger 2.5-year cycle that we can also keep track of and watch this gestation, really, of our ideas and our projects and our personal psychological growth. So the new moon, where we're sitting right now, new moon was exact at 12:45 Pacific time today. So we're just a few hours out from the new moon. We're in that dark creative zone of conception with the new moon. So the new moon is the point in the cycle where the sun and the moon come together. And if you've joined me before for these circles, you know that I love the analogy of sitting in circle with a group of people. So we're thinking about what is the new moon? What is the full moon? What are the phases of the moon? It's a relationship between the earth, the sun, and the moon. And a wonderful analogy for that relationship is to think about times you've sat in circle with other people, whether it was around a table, in a business context, whether it was in a spiritual context or some kind of fun meeting with a group, and you're sitting in circle. Think about a circle in which there are two leaders. And in our circle, these leaders are the sun and the moon. And think about at the beginning of that meeting, what's happening is the two leaders are sitting close together. They're in the same zone. They're looking out. When they look out on the circle, they are seeing things from the same direction, from the same perspective. And they're able to intimately share thoughts and lean in and whisper to each other and be in each other's embrace. And most importantly, when they look out from the same viewpoint. So they see the same things in the same way. Now imagine that as that meeting progresses, one of the leaders gets up and moves around the circle until halfway through the meeting, she's sitting across from the other leader. So now they're not able to whisper together and be intimate. They're still able to communicate, but it's a different kind of communication. And what's really important about that positioning is that now they're seeing things from opposite views. That's the perspective of the full moon, when the sun and the moon are opposite each other in the sky. And then as time progresses, the moon completes the circle and comes back into intimacy from the same point of view as the sun. And as this happens throughout the year in each lunar month, the moon and sun progress together from one sign of the zodiac to the next in sequence. So each new moon is going to be in a different sign progressively. So it's a 1 month long developmental cycle, psychologically and emotionally, and it's a 1 year long developmental cycle as well. So we have a chance to experience the new moon in each sign once throughout the year. So here we are, sun and moon conjunct, the two leaders in intimacy, looking out with the same viewpoint. In this case, they're both in Gemini. So we're sitting here at the Gemini new moon, looking out at the world in a Gemini kind of way. And we're going to talk a little bit later about what that means. So here is a vintage depiction of that circle that I was just talking to you guys about. If we put the Earth in the center here and the sun is here, the moon moves around the circle from intimacy with the sun here at the new moon, the dark moon in conjunction with the sun. She moves around the circle throughout the course of the month until at the full moon, she's opposite the sun from the perspective of Earth. So that gives you a visual for that journey around the circle that I was just describing. So for each of the four phases of the moon, new first quarter, full last quarter, I would like to offer you a question for thought and for journaling as we get to each of those phases of the moon. And the question that I offer for the new moon, the question that the new moon asks of each of us is, what is being conceived? And in this question, we see the nature of the new moon, which is the dark creative. Right? It's the creative womb of the month. When the moon is new, she's dark. We can't see her because she's so intimately bound with the sun, she's not visible in the sky. So that's the time of the dark of the moon. It's the darkest night of the entire month, the brightly shining stars. And that mystery of the absent moon, who is at the same time so powerful. And that is the fertile dark in which we conceive all the new ideas and new projects of the coming moon. So 1 week from now, as the lunation progresses, we're going to get to what's called the first quarter moon, where you see that beautiful half moon in the sky, and that's the time to make adjustments. The question for the first quarter moon is, what needs adjustment? So as the wishes and beginnings of the new moon develop, they get to the point of, like, if you think in terms of a seedling, as it pushes up above the ground, and we've planted all our seeds, the first quarter moon time is the time when we may need to thin those rows of the seeds that we've planted. We take a look, we see what's growing, we see what we really want to nurture and what we want to get rid of. So whatever seeds or intentions we set tonight, we're going to carry through and look at in a week and say, okay, how are those intentions going? What needs adjustment? What do I need to pluck out and throw away? And what do I need to really nurture so it can thrive? And when we get to the full moon in 2 weeks, and we'll have another webinar. So if you want to come and join me in 2 weeks, we can look back and see what we planted tonight and see what's being illuminated about those seeds that we planted. This is the time of blossoming and the time to really assess where we're at with those seeds that were planted on the new moon. So the question for the full moon is, what is being illuminated? At the last quarter moon, which we were at just 1 week ago, we spend that week thinking about, what do we need to release so we can really start fresh on this new moon? What is the essence that we can distill out of what we have learned in that lunar month, and what needs to be released in order to really grow and to bring the best of what we've learned into the next cycle and leave behind what we don't want? So that's the time we've just come out of in the last week. So think of those quarter moons, which look like a half moon in the sky. Think of those as times of questioning and assessment. And the full moon is a time of celebration and illumination. The new moon as a time of conception. So how can we use this beautiful Gemini new moon energy? And let me talk a little bit about the nature of this particular new moon. So yes, things have been intense lately, and they have been intense for a couple of reasons that have nothing to do with the moon, astrologically speaking. But because this new moon is touching on a couple of the big other aspects in the sky, we're feeling it. Like, you may have had a sort of raw and emotional day that may have mirrored the way you were feeling midweek last week, or any big or startling events in your life that you've been dealing with even since the last new moon in the middle of May. It's been some intense energy with the planets Uranus and Mars. So Uranus is the liberator, the change bringer. So we're thankful for what Uranus brings into our life, but it can also be, when we have a big shift with Uranus, it can bring unexpected and forceful things into our life. And this is always, always, in the service of our own freedom and liberation. But as we all know, that's not always the easiest thing, especially when it comes suddenly. So this doesn't have to be a scary thing at all. If you know me, you know that when I talk about planetary energies, I'm not talking about doom and gloom outer events. To me, the primary use, although not the only use, but the primary use of this astrological wisdom is for self-assessment and to understand how our own interior experience is always reflecting the larger energetic experience. So when I say, like, change bringer or sudden events, you really don't need to worry about how this is going to manifest in your outer life. It's more important to reflect within and think about what have been the psychological and emotional events that have felt like that. What over this last lunation, just going back a little bit, thinking what's leading up to this Gemini new moon, what over the last month what is the place in your life that has felt like the ground is shifting? Again, this may have been outer events, but more importantly, we're thinking about your inner life and where things have felt shaky and where you may have embarked suddenly on new beginnings that you weren't expecting and how that has affected you emotionally. So we've had a month of that running up to this. And whenever we begin something new or things shake up in our lives, we feel vulnerable. And to top it all off, last week we had some challenges from the planet Mars, who does come along and challenge us. It's a hot, fiery, assertive energy. And if managed well, it can bring a lot of energy and beauty and excitement and drive and desire into our lives. But feeling a lot of that coming at us all at once can be a little bit intense, especially if you are like me, a bit of an earthy, watery, sensitive type. All that fire coming at you, it feels exciting, it feels good, but sometimes it's hard to know how to take advantage of it. So go ahead and type in the chat if you're feeling. I would love to know if those feelings resonate for you and how that experience has been for you of this last month that we've just walked through of a lot of change and the ground shaking a little bit and some intense fiery energy over the last week, all in the service of change and liberation within ourselves and all leading up to the beginning of this new cycle, which is really about changing our thinking. So to bring that back now to thinking about using this energy of this Gemini new moon. So for me, the new moon is a clean slate every month. It's really a time, I take a couple days before the new moon to really do some assessment and reflection over how things have been for me over the last month, what I want to let go of, so that I can start fresh. And I love that January 1st, Monday morning feeling that I can get once a month, every month with the new moon. It's a clean slate and it feels really good. And as we go through the developmental cycle of the year, we get a clean slate in a different area of our lives with each new moon. So with this new moon, we get a clean slate in the Gemini area of our lives. And we'll look at some charts later on and see what that means for you personally. But for all of us, that means we're going to come back to creating simple ritual. Yeah, okay, but I want to talk about Gemini. For all of us, that means a new beginning in the Gemini area of our lives. So Gemini is an air sign to start with. So Gemini is quick, fast-moving, intelligent, articulate. Gemini is, I actually really love how this cute photo embodies a lot of Gemini qualities. So not only do you have the idea of twins or a pair of something, but you have the idea of innovation, newness, quirkiness. There's that colorful, quirky, and charming energy to Gemini. Ultimately, Gemini is about how we think. So it's a lot about language and communication. And it's about a kind of mercurial quality and a charm that may seem to be superficial, but is actually representative of an energy that connects everything. So you can think about Gemini, which rules the nervous system. Mercury rules the nervous system. Think about the connectivity of the nervous system and of connective tissue, which is another Mercury Gemini thing. So Gemini sometimes has that reputation of being superficial. And there is definitely a smoothness and a charm and a quickness that can come off as superficial. But that mercurial energy is everywhere. That's the idea, right? It's the electronic impulses in the body. It's the channels through which everything moves, thought, feeling, ideas. It's the channels of communication within our bodies and also between ourselves as humans. It's all of our human communication networks, and it's our ability to communicate with non-human beings, with the animal realm and with the realm of nature, and ultimately with the gods. If we think about how Gemini is ruled by the planet Mercury, and the archetype of Mercury includes being a messenger between the human realm and the gods. So yes, Mercury has a quick mind and superficial charm, but Mercury is also that ineffable substance that connects everything. It's the swift moving, ever-changing flow of information, ideas, and mystery and magic within ourselves, between ourselves and all the other humans, and between ourselves and the greater energetic mysteries. So there's a lot going on. It's a pretty profound energy. So when we think about what are the seeds that we want to plant on a Gemini new moon, we can go back to a very mundane level and think, you know, how do I want to handle my personal transportation? Where do I really need to change my ideas, and how do I want to bring new ideas into my life? Is there something in my world of marketing and communication that I could really enhance this month? Gemini new moon intentions are great for all of those Gemini Mercury ruled things. That's on the mundane level. If you want to take it to the level of really powerful psychological and spiritual growth, then you can think about setting intentions on this moon for greater communication within yourself, greater awareness and sensitivity of the way energy flows and ideas flow within you and beyond you, how your energy affects the world, and where you want to initiate communication with other people, with the spirit realms, and with your own deep self. remembering that Mercury is also the only god who can descend into the underworld and return unscathed. So using that Mercury energy, if you want to do some deep psychological work, which a lot of other things about this lunation are suggesting it's a good idea this month, use that Gemini new moon time to initiate a cycle of descending into your deep self and returning unscathed and returning with greater wisdom. So yeah, these are some of the qualities, both deep and superficial, of Gemini: learning, mental processes, media, marketing, communication, transportation, anxiety, charm, cleverness, ingenuity, dexterity. It's the hands, all your side-by-side relationships. So coworkers, siblings, anyone that you're standing side-by-side with rather than face-to-face with. It rules the hands and the arms and the lungs and the breath. So again, that idea of breath brings those the twin aspects of Gemini, the superficial and the deep and profound, together. If you think about how profound our breath is, how it's our primary communication, the way we take in energy from the world and release our personal energy into the world. So if you're thinking about doing some physical healing, this is a great time to set intentions around things that you would like to heal with your hands, arms, lungs, and breath. Sometimes we'd like to use that new moon energy for physical healing, so that's a good one. In time, this next lunation is going to bring really, it has the potential to bring some really miraculous, and I don't use that word lightly, miraculous and magical shifts and changes within that will then open up seemingly miraculous possibilities in the world. I'd like to know a little about the underworld with Mercury. Do you mean going deep within, clearing? Yeah. Well, that's a long question, right? I could talk a lot about the underworld journey. It's actually one of the primary focuses of my work. And I use that myth a lot in the work that I do with clients. But to just briefly talk about that in terms of the Mercury journey, and the reason, again, if you're just tuning in, the reason we're talking about Mercury is Mercury is the ruling planet of Gemini. And also, so Mercury is the ruler of this lunation. And we have a nice aspect to Mercury with this new moon. So this new moon is really supported, extra supported for a Gemini new moon by Mercury. So Mercury is the psychopomp, the one who can lead you into the underworld and bring you back unscathed. So if you're curious about that, it's great to go back and look at the old myths and stories of the underworld descent, the descent of Inanna. There's a section in the Aeneid, book 6 of the Aeneid. There's a beautiful Seamus Heaney translation of book 6 of the Aeneid, in which Aeneas is led into the underworld to meet his father. So if it piques your interest, and there's contemporary stories that have an underworld descent theme too, you can find them in popular culture. So something to do, lateral thinking is another thing that Gemini is about. So it might be fun this month if there's something that intrigues you to think about instead of, intellectual learning for sure, but then also just absorbing the stories of that thing and seeing how you respond to them. So yes, I'm talking about that story in terms of, so as a metaphor for psychological and emotional work, that is going into our own hidden depths and returning from them with a treasure. And because of the strong Mercury component this month, we have the opportunity to do that more easily with less pain than we might usually find ourselves in with that kind of emotional journey. So there's a couple of other aspects coming into this new moon chart. Specifically, there's a square with Chiron and that Mercury sextiling Uranus. Also, I noticed the moon has a sextile to Ceres. So you don't need to know the astro stuff if you don't know that yet, it's okay. What I'll tell you about that is that all of that is supporting and encouraging a psychological deep dive this month. I would pay attention to the dreams and feelings that you've been having over the last 3 or 4 days, and especially maybe, last night and the day before. If there's things that are feeling raw and vulnerable and scary or sad, just in a way that has nothing to do with the outer world or that's triggered by an event that is, in the popular culture or in the news, it doesn't really have to do with your personal life. If there's something that's causing you to reflect on old memories or feel an old feeling that's not very comfortable, that's the seed to hang on to ask for healing with. And this doesn't have to be a month of like I said, like a big, deep, difficult psychological deep dive. Doesn't have to be that at all. It can be a very gentle, innovative approach to those old memories, old feelings, and old wounds and old habits, and a chance to turn them over just like you're turning over soil to grow a new garden. Just turn it right over to make room for the next thing. It really is like a lovely little window of opportunity to just slip into that next phase and leave those old things behind. But you may be feeling it right now. The truth is that you may be holding that emotion in your heart or in your body or in your dreams over the last few days. It's just asking to be turned over and let go. And you have this month to do that in a really gentle way with a lot of support from the energetic realms. So I hope that answers your question about the underworld journey, Adele. So interesting. I was spontaneously setting communications intentions today. Yeah, right on. So you're right there, Katarina. So great to contemplate how we can work that energy on a deeper level. Yes. Super interesting. Thank you. I love the myths. Yes, we'll look into it. Seamus Heaney, book 6 of the Aeneid, his translation. It's beautiful. And it's a little short thing. It's a one-night read, and it'll give you beautiful dreams. Asking for a dream about what needs to be turned over and cleared. And allow the dream to speak to you in its own language, right? Gemini is about language and our facility with languages, and it's about symbols and patterns. So sometimes we don't even need to run that through the critical mind. We can just let ourselves play with the symbols and patterns. Play is another Mercury and Gemini thing. So the creative play with patterns, symbols, words, and language is a really great approach to dreams. In fact, Katarina, I think you are one of the people that really has taught me about that, about the playful and pun-like aspect of dreams sometimes. So as you're doing your dream work, approach it in that playful Gemini Mercurial way. Approach it as a word game or a puzzle or a series of patterns that connects back to old stories. It doesn't all have to be like a big, heavy Freudian thing at all. Can be much more fun than that. Okay, so any other questions from anyone out there? Otherwise, I'm going to jump into some charts. Okay, so I'm going to share the screen again, and we'll jump into some charts. Just keep typing in your questions and ideas, and we'll come back here and have a look at... Okay, so what is this? Now I'm going to turn our attention to where this new moon might be hitting you in your personal chart and life. So the way we figure that out, you do not have to be, you don't have to be completely astrologically literate to be able to figure this out. You can... I'm going to pop this in the comments too when I come back to that part. But you can go to astro.com. That's the site that I recommend for downloading a free chart for yourself. There's other free charts out there, but astro.com has the most accurate data. So I recommend that one. Just go to astro.com and click on, or just go to their search and click, you know, I forget what you have to click on to get the free chart, but it's pretty easy to get there. And you just type in your birth information and it'll give you your chart. And from your chart, okay, I'm just going to show you what a chart looks like. So we have Rhonda's chart here. And we're going to talk about that in a minute in terms of this new moon. But when you go to astro.com and download your chart, if you're not familiar with what an astrology chart looks like, don't be freaked out. There's a lot of useful information for you, even without, as I said, the literacy. And we're going to come back and look at what that is. The primary thing that we think about when we're just thinking about our new moons and where they're hitting in the chart is we think about these pie slices. If you look at the numbers in the middle. Okay, so to go back a little bit, what this is actually is a picture of the sky at the moment of your birth. This is the horizon line. And this other dark line that crosses it shows the highest and the lowest point in the sky at the moment of your birth. And these little black symbols are the planetary glyphs. This shows where each planet was in the sky, either above or below the horizon at the moment of your birth. And as a way for us as astrologers to help to interpret the meaning of those planetary placements, we have developed a system of houses, what are called astrological houses, as a way to talk symbolically about where the planets sit in the sky. So the houses you'll see as these pie slices of the chart. There's 12 in every chart. And they are numbered from 1 just below the horizon, going counterclockwise all the way to 12 just above the horizon. The role that houses play in your astrological chart is that they define areas of life experience. And they also show, again, the soul development, the psychological and emotional development of the self, from focus on the self to completely spiritualized and merged with everything. So we think symbolically of the journey of the soul from awareness simply of self all the way through, that's number one, all the way through each of the realms of experience to the realm of energetic and spiritual merging. That's the deepest or highest, however you want to think about it, level of interpreting the journey through the houses. Also, there are very useful mundane interpretations of the houses in terms of what areas of life are ruled by each, and that's what we'll look at. That is what we will look at tonight, so you can get a sense of where this new moon is hitting you in your life. So these are the houses, each associated with a question that you can ask yourself. The first house, that one that we saw just below the horizon, the first house and the things it contains answer the question, who am I? The second house answers the question, what do I value? Third house answers, how do I learn and think? That's the house where Gemini naturally lives, in the third house. Fourth house asks, what are my roots? And answers that question. Fifth house answers, what is my pleasure? Sixth house answers, what are my daily structures? Seventh, how are my partnerships? Eighth, how do I handle power? Ninth, how do I explore the world? Tenth, what am I known for? 11, who are my tribe? And 12, where do I connect with spirit and the unknown? Okay, so even without knowing anything about astrology, you can start to kind of sense your way through your own chart just by responding to the symbols and knowing those questions. Okay, so I just want to give you a quick little tutorial. If you have downloaded your own chart and you're looking at it going, what the heck? How do I figure out where this new moon falls in my chart? This is how. So when you're looking at your own chart without a lot of knowledge and you just want to figure out what's going on right now and where the moon is hitting it, this is how to do that. So we know that this new moon, the meeting of the sun and the moon, is happening at the place in the sky that's called, it's actually a point in time more than a place in the sky, but that point is called 22 Gemini. So each sign contains 30 degrees. And this meeting of the sun and the moon, this new moon, is at 22 degrees Gemini. That was at noon 30 today. So how do we find that in the chart and what does that mean? So around the outer circle of your chart, and I've used a chart from astro.com. Different charts from different places and different programs are going to look different, but this is exactly what the chart's going to look like if you download it from astro.com. You'll see this outer ring with the sign, with the signs. These are the glyphs for the signs of the zodiac. And they will always go in this order, but they won't always be in the same placement. The placement is unique to you. So in this chart that I'm using as a sample, this is actually my chart, this chart, we find Gemini straddling the 12th and the first house. That means that's my rising sign. You might find Gemini, this symbol, this is a glyph of Gemini. It's the two ones next to each other. You might find that symbol at any place around this outer ring. So as you're looking at your own chart, what I want you to do is find that Gemini glyph. It's going to be orange and it's going to look like these two. Numeral two. Oops. And then I want you to count, remembering that this whole thing turns counterclockwise. You're going to count from the beginning of Gemini. That's the line between Gemini and Taurus. You're going to count to 22 degrees. So 10, 22. Okay. And then you're going to look towards the center of the circle and you're going to figure out what house 22 degrees Gemini is in. And that in turn will tell you which area of life this new moon will affect and what's going to be highlighted for you in terms of your life over this whole next lunation. So in my case, that's the first house. So let's go back and see what that question was. The first house is, who am I? So that means for me and for anybody else who's getting hit in the first house or who's getting stimulated, shall we say that, in the first house by this new moon, it's going to bring up questions of identity and how we express ourselves. And that can be anything from a really profound questioning of who we are in the world to wanting to have a makeover or change our appearance. Because it's Gemini and Gemini brings us ideas of communication and thought and language and learning, somebody like myself who's having this fall in their first house might be thinking about changing up the way they express themselves in order to be authentic to themselves in the world. Or it might signify that the way that I have changed my thinking is starting to show on the outside and become part of my personality. That really resonates for me. Like, that is really true. The developmental cycle of the last lunar month has involved some pretty deep changes of habits and ways of being. And I feel ready now to kind of integrate that into my outer expression in the world. So for me, that's my feeling of that new moon hitting my Gemini first house. I'm going to assume that Rhonda's here and we're going to go ahead and look at this chart. So if you're following along to that last bit of how to find Gemini, just take a minute and look at this chart and see if you can figure out which house that this new moon is falling in for Rhonda. Okay, well, let's figure it out together. So remember that the first thing that we look at, if we're trying to figure this out, is we look at the signs around the outer ring. And we're trying to find that Gemini glyph, that orange double, here it is. See how that's in a completely different place than it was for me. Mine was over here at the first house. So here it is. I hope everybody can see my mouse. Gemini's over on the right-hand side of the chart below the horizon. So then we're going to count counterclockwise from the beginning of Gemini. We're going to go 10 degrees, 20 degrees, and 2. You can see that this transiting sun, this green glyph of the transiting sun is right here at 22 degrees Gemini because this chart was pulled for today. So there it is. And when I drew this chart, the moon hadn't quite caught up with the sun. So here's 22 degrees Gemini. So now we follow this through to the center of the circle, and we see that for Rhonda, this is falling in her fifth house. It's also not too far from her natal Venus. So that's really nice. That's a nice placement for this moon. So let's look back now at our list of the houses, and we see that the question for the fifth house is, what is my pleasure? What is my pleasure? So we know that the fifth house rules our playfulness, our love affairs, our children, and our deep creativity. It's that level of our creativity where we're making something and it just feels like the most natural, fun, delicious thing in the world to create. It's that childlike, in the best possible sense, childlike creativity, where we just tap into that natural flow state of creation and access the joy of creating. That's fifth house. Fifth house is a lovely place to hang out. So I would say that for Rhonda, and because of the somewhat challenging nature of this new moon, I would say that Rhonda is being challenged to really overcome past wounding around creativity and pleasure, so that you, Rhonda, can fully express yourself and be creatively emancipated. And I would look for beautiful opportunities for creativity and play to come along over the next month. Say yes to invitations that have a playful and creative quality, or just a quality of pleasure and enjoyment, and allow yourself to indulge in that throughout this next month. And earlier in the chat, I was talking about the particular psychological challenges of this moon and the miraculous and magical possibilities for healing if we allow ourselves to take that scary but necessary deep dive into ourselves and self-reflect on where we can let go of old pains, because we're being given an opportunity to do that with greater ease than we normally would. So it's a chance, Rhonda, if you have been feeling over the last week or so any kind of shadowy reminders of past pains, whether they be small or large, that are things that may have or may continue to interfere with your creativity and pleasure, this is an amazing opportunity to just pretty much instantaneously heal and move beyond those. So I would be watching for those opportunities for creative healing and for pleasurable activity over the next month. You've got your Venus in there, so you're naturally, there's a lot of opportunity for creating beauty in your life. A lot of opportunity. Okay. So let's give everybody a minute to see if you can figure out which house this moon is falling into for Adele. Remember that the first thing we do is look around the outer circle and look for that orange double Gemini glyph. And then we count from the entrance counterclockwise from the cusp of Gemini, which is between Gemini and Taurus. Count 22 degrees, and you'll see the green glyph of the sun hanging out there as she is today. Pop it in the chat if you've figured it out. Which house is it for Adele? Okay, let's do it together. So let's look around the outside and stop when we get to Gemini. There we are. There's Gemini. So where's the cusp of Gemini? It's here between Taurus and Gemini. So then we count 10, 20, 2. Okay, so which house? Okay, so then remember we go up and look at the center of the pie and look for the number, and that's the fourth house. And we also notice in Adele's case that there's some other stuff going on here, right? There's some other planetary bodies hanging out at this degree. And I'll talk about that in a minute, but let's first go up and see what the fourth house means. So we're going to go back to our list of questions for the houses. The fourth house, the question for the house, fourth house is, what are my roots? So the fourth house is where it all begins. It's the deepest part of the chart. It represents our childhood and early experiences and our roots in all senses. So if you think about where the fourth house is in that map of the moment of your birth, it's the deepest point. If you were to drop down from that bed on which your mother was laboring, if you were to drop down through the center of the earth and down out the bottom of the sky, that very bottom root of the sky is the fourth house. So that is our safety, our security, our sense of home. It's how we create home. It's our actual physical house and how we live in our house and how we create a sense of security for ourselves with our physical surroundings. It's our, as I said, our early experiences and the way that they shape us throughout life. So I would say for you, Adele, and we'll come back to this guy in a moment, but so this Gemini new moon is hitting your fourth house, and it's an opportunity. I know you mentioned that you're making career decisions. So just to get into it, slightly more complexity, each house is paired with the house that lives across from it. So the fourth house, which is our roots, is paired with the 10th house, which is our reach. The question, if you remember, for the 10th house is, how am I seen? Or something to that effect. 10th house rules our career. So the relationship here is that the fourth house roots and security provide the foundation for the 10th house reach and aspiration and career and reputation. So anytime something is hitting that fourth house, sorry guys, anytime anything is hitting that fourth house, it's also asking about the 10th house. And this is especially true with that fourth house, 10th house axis, that our sense of security and home provides the foundation for how we are able to fly and reach and express ourselves in the world. And the two are always asking to be balanced. On the simplest level, that means work-life balance, right? It means home versus work. On a deeper level, it means how developmentally and psychologically secure we are can often have a great effect on how able we are to be our best selves in expression in the world. So the fact that this Gemini new moon is hitting in your fourth house and activating that fourth house, 10th house axis, I would say that you're being given the opportunity to really look back at how deeply secure your roots are, or the places and times when they have felt less secure. And you're being given the opportunity to intensify and shore up that security of those deep roots so that you can bloom and blossom and go to the next level with whatever's happening for you right now in the 10th house. So things to reflect on over the next month for Adele would be, how does my sense of security in my background and in my home affect my ability to achieve in my career? And how can I begin anew with renewing my sense of security for myself, not based on past experiences, but based on my own self-trust? And how can that in turn feed into my career achievements? So I hope that resonates for you, Adele. Make some notes and think about that and watch what comes up over the next month in terms of that balance between roots and reach. And drop me a line and let me know. I'm always curious to know how these things play out. You too, Rhonda, I'll be curious to know about the creative opportunities. So I'm going to, okay. So I did just want to briefly mention this. It's also hitting your Chiron. And we talked about Chiron. Chiron is, without getting into a lot of complexity, Chiron is not a planet, but an asteroid in the inner asteroid belt. And Chiron is a body that talks about our ability to deal with our old wounding. And whenever Chiron is stimulated by a planetary transit, it's an opportunity to rethink the ways that we've been wounded in the past and heal. So this is a really beautiful opportunity for healing. Again, I'm going to call you back to that idea of being able to go unscathed into the underworld and how this is an opportunity that doesn't come along very often to address those old woundings, whether they're small or large, and address them in a way that's light and gentle and easy and miraculous. So it could be a time of really profound healing that allows you to flourish more in your work in the world. And maybe thinking back to what happened to you when you were 21, 22 years old and how that set a pattern that needs to be readdressed so that you can bloom even more. So those are my thoughts for Adele. So what do I want to say to you as we wind up? Choose curiosity over fear. Choose curiosity over fear this month. Choose curiosity over fear as you're going deep within. Allow for magic and miracles. Trust your own crazy ideas. Allow lateral thinking. Understand that things might be feeling a little bit more raw and sensitive than usual, and that's okay. That's where you bring in the curiosity and approach those feelings with curiosity rather than fear. There's a lot of tenderness in this new moon chart, a lot of tenderness. So just be really gentle with yourselves, really gentle. If you want some extra support over this lunation for whatever it is that you're working with internally, you want to go deep into that mythic story of your own life, come and see me so we can work one-on-one. I would love to see you one-on-one. We meet just like this via Zoom, and we can take a deep dive into your chart and see what is going on. Take some space and time for yourself tonight or tomorrow. We still have new moon energy tomorrow. It doesn't have to be fancy, right? Just take some time and space to be alone with your journal, light a candle, burn some incense, or if your lungs can't handle the incense, have some feathers or other representation of air around in honor of Gemini air sign. Gemini loves writing too. So do your writing by hand. Get out your really pretty paper and your nice pen. Light two candles for Gemini. Burn some incense or have some feathers around. And just sit and reflect on that question of what is being conceived. And reflect on some of the things that we've talked about tonight, maybe about the house question, where that moon is hitting in your house. But even if you haven't, or which house in your chart, even if you haven't discovered that, you can still do some really fruitful introspection around the idea of how do I communicate? Where am I feeling tender? Where do my thoughts need to change? Where can I allow myself greater curiosity, creativity, learning, and communication over this coming month? And write down some wishes or intentions, just one or two simple wishes or intentions for what you would like to see for yourself. And this lunation especially, I'm encouraging you to make those more about yourself and your own inner exploration. There are other lunations that are, I mean, every lunation can be good for outer manifesting, but there's some special things about this one that are really good for inner work. So make a couple of intentions regarding inner work. Write those down, fold up that paper, put it away in a pretty envelope, write the date on it, and come back and look at it at the new moon, at the full moon in 2 weeks to see how that has taken shape. And you can reflect on it again with your little full moon ritual. Put it back in the envelope and put it away for another 2 weeks and take it out just before the next new moon. And get out there every night and try to find the moon in the sky. In 2 or 3 days, she'll just be a gorgeous crescent in the evening sky, and Venus is still up there so bright on the western horizon. So in the next couple of days, you'll have a chance to see that crescent moon and Venus hanging out together in the sky. Not to be missed. I hope to see you guys again. No questions? Super helpful. Thank you. You're so welcome. I really, really enjoy doing these chats. It's getting kind of addictive. I might have to start doing them once a week. You're so welcome, Katerina. I'll see you soon. Any more questions? Otherwise, I'm going to let you guys go. Okay, yeah, and you can shoot me an email. You can, yeah, right, you can ask the questions of yourself. You are so welcome, Jane. I'll see you soon, too. Or feel free to email me, Bronwyn@BronwynSimons.com. Bronwyn@BronwynSimons.com. With your, I always want to hear, like, how did it all turn out for you? So happy, happy new moon. Love to you, friends. Take care. Have a great lunation. Maybe you can come back and see me on the full moon.